Praise God. So God knows. So the Lord tells us how we should pray. In Matthew, he just goes into the teaching on prayer. In other passages, the disciples ask him, teach us how to pray. But here he just goes straight to the point. He says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. After this manner, after this pattern, after this pattern. Amen? He says, after this manner, pray. How should we pray? He says, pray like this. Our Father. Someone say, Our Father. By making that statement, Our Father, he already included us as sons and daughters. Our Father. So if he's our Father, he is my Father. Yeah? Because I am part of the our. So you can say my Father, our Father, who hath or which art in heaven. You are in heaven. In essence, what he's saying to us is, you are in a higher plane than I am, and you see better than I can see. And he says, hallowed be thy name. Now that, child of God, is a remarkable statement. Because the statement, hallowed be thy name, is a statement saying, whatever it is I'm going to talk to you about right now, your name be hallowed, your name be glorified, because I know that from your high position of glory, this prayer is going to be answered. This prayer is going to be answered. Hallowed be your name. Because if I remain sick, your name is not going to be hallowed. Your name is going to be blasphemed amongst those who do not know God. These ones who pray vain repetitions. I am not part of that. You are my Father. I am not part of the heathen, the Gentiles that don't know you. You are my Father, our Father, who art in heaven. You're real. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed. What is that statement referencing when we say God's name be hallowed? It means that his name is holy. Holy is your name. And what does that mean? It means that God, you are not in the same group as other people. You are separate. You are different. You are not like man. So my prayer here is not an answer that should come by the workings of man. I want you, God, to prove yourself in my particular situation. Now you may use people, but you are not limited to people. Hallowed be your name. I'm thinking of something right now that may sound weird to some people. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. But it's happened to me at various times. I've lost something very important. Maybe it's a document. Maybe it's some money. Maybe it's keys. And I'm looking everywhere for it. Can't find it. Don't know where I lost it. Whether I lost it in a different country. Forgot it somewhere else. And I come to God and I say, God, you know where my stuff is. I need that stuff, and you know that it's important that I have that particular information with me right now. So I'm trusting you to move whatever it is from wherever it is to where I can find it. And I go and I rest myself. And would you know it? I don't know how God does what God does, but I find it in the place I've been looking for it for the longest time. It is there in plain view. I know I've looked at that suitcase. I know I've looked at that drawer. I know I've looked at that hand luggage. I know I've looked at every pocket, emptied everything out, and put everything back. How is it that it's there? Well, because God can move things. Amen? He can help you when you need help. Praise God. He's not limited to a 747 jet that's going to fly for how many days before it gets to you. God can just dematerialize it here and materialize it over here. I said, wow, that's amazing. I thought I was looking at this place. Did you pray and ask me to help you? Yes, I did. So it is there, isn't it? Yes. Well, his name was hallowed. He's not like any other God. He's not like an idol that you're pouring libations to that can do nothing. He's well able. The only limit that God has is the limit that you put on him. Really. It's the only limit that you put on him. The only limit that God has in my life is the limit I've put on him, based on my natural mind and what I think. I think I can't walk on water. And I can't. What does the Lord think about not walking on water? No, he just walks. And he wants me to think the same way. I can do anything I need to do when I need to do it. Hallowed be thy name. It seems like I went out of the point, but no, I'm still on point. God is different. He's not like any other God. And it's not like people and what people do. God is God by himself. Amen? He's totally God, and he's our helper. Praise the Lord. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, thy reign, thy authority, your power, let it come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He says this is the pattern you should pray. Pray that God's will in heaven be done in the earth. God's will in heaven be done in the earth. Let's think about that for a moment. Are people mourning in heaven? Are people in poverty in heaven? Are they sick? Are they confused and defeated? No. Well, the Lord is saying to us that his will in heaven, that means how heaven is operated, should be what we declare done here in the earth. And that's how his name is hallowed. So for us as believers, We think, this is how we think. We think, I am 60, I'm old. I am 80, I am old. I'm 100, I am old. And old age diseases will come on me. It is normal. Well, there are people who have been existing in the heavens for 6,000 years. Do they look 6,000 years old? When we get to heaven, and we've been there for 10,000 years, we will look 10,000 years old. What does that mean in the language of heaven? It means nothing. So, my youth is renewed like the eagles. That's what he says. True? My youth is renewed like the eagles. So, therefore, as a child of God, I'm not supposed to be thinking old. I should be thinking, thy kingdom come, thy will, as it is in heaven, so let it be here in the earth, in my life. You're my Father. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. There must not be lack in my life. No lack in my life. There's no sickness, no arthritis, no cancer, no rheumatism, no skin diseases, no blood diseases, no high blood pressure, no diabetes in heaven. So, that must be true of me here in the earth. But the very fact that it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, means that's not automatic. That's why it says you should pray that. Because if you don't declare that, then you're not going to have the kingdom of God and the presence of the will of God in heaven, in the earth, in your life. So why do we still die? Is it because God wants us dead? No. Death came because of sin. It was a result of sin, the consequence of sin. But Jesus died already, paid the price of sin, and the wages of sin, which is death, is removed from my life. So I have no business dying anymore. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you shall not die. That's what the Word of God says, right? True? So why do we still die? Because we've not declared, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We don't believe it. And as long as we don't believe it, we keep on dying. It's just as simple as that. You mean that we can live life without dying? Absolutely. Is there a reason for us to die? Well, the first man that lived 900 plus years. So, at least, if we have this new creation, have this new body in Christ, it should be easy for believers to live 300, 400, 500, 600, 800, and the more we grow in faith, the older we hang around. Does that make sense? Or am I talking crazy? Well, you won't believe how many people think I'm talking crazy now. But that's a result of not applying that word. God, hallowed be thy name. My Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom, let it come. Your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. That's what he said we should pray. But just like it says, vain reputations. when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray it as a vain repetition. We just pray mindlessly, not thinking about what is being said and what God is challenging us to connect with. Can God reverse age and the aging process? Absolutely. Can I start getting younger rather than getting older in my mind, in my body, in my muscles, in my bones? Is it possible that my youth can be renewed? Well, if it is not possible, why did God's word say that your youth can be renewed like the eagles? It's because it is part of his plan. We can experience heaven in the earth. But do we desire it? Do we will it? Do we want it? That's another question. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's order. God believes in order. God believes in order. And so if God believes in order and order is in heaven, then there's got to be order in the earth, in my home, in the church, wherever his presence is, there's got to be order. But what do we think? We generate atmospheres of disorder, and that is not God's will being done in the earth as it is in heaven. Then he says, give us this day our daily bread. Now that's a very important statement. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we'll be partly right to consider that statement as, God, give me my daily food, you know. Well, God wants to provide us food daily. He takes care of the birds of the field. And so that won't be a bad understanding of that statement. But it is much more than that. Give us this day our daily bread is connected more so to an assignment. The Lord said that his bread is to do the will of the Father and to finish it. He said, that's my meat. That's my bread. To do the will of God. So when he says to us here, give us this day our daily bread, he's speaking more so about us having daily assignments. Give me my daily assignment. Let me be aware of what my assignment for this day is. Because ultimately, it's about your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily assignment so I can bring forth the will of God in the heavens to the earth. Are you with me? It's about your assignment. What is God's will? What does God want you to do today? What assignment has God marked out for you today? Are you honoring that assignment? Or are you doing your own thing? What is the assignment God gave to you today? What did God speak to you about doing today? You know, when you go to work, there is a job assigned to you for that day. and you complete that work, and you get paid for that work, and it is from that work that you get your daily bread. That makes sense? Yeah. From the work that you did, you get your daily bread. The same thing is true of the kingdom of God. God gave me my daily assignment, so as I honor that assignment, my assignment accomplished results in the financial freedom, the relational freedom that I need in every aspect of my life. Give me my daily bread. My assignment for today. Well, son, your assignment for today is to pray for Johnny. Who is Johnny? Well, Johnny is at this phone number, 204-961-5500. 204-961-5500. Hello, may I speak to Johnny, please? Johnny, how do you know Johnny? I have an assignment from God to pray for him today. Well, Johnny is in the hospital. Okay. Can I agree with you and pray for Johnny? You say that is far-fetched. Really? That's happened to me. Do you think God knows people's home phone numbers or their cell numbers? God doesn't? If that's the assignment for the day, he will tell you what to do. Just obey the instruction. So you called and it wasn't correct. Big deal. The issue is more that you obeyed. That's the issue, that you obeyed, foolishly obeyed, and you made the call, and your call was wrong. Great. Lord, there's no such person there. It's good that you listened, and you dialed, and you spoke, and they were not there. Call this number. How many times God asked me to call numbers I didn't know? Even for things to do with the church. Talk with people. Get things happening, moving. If he can do that for just business stuff, why won't he do it for things that are even much more important? People that need healing or deliverance or have a need in their life met. God can use me and God can use you. God can use us all when we are ready to honor our daily assignment. Jesus in John 4 was at the well. Was at the well, and his disciples went into town to get food, and he stayed there at the well. That was not the right position for him, the rabbi, to stay at the well. It's the women that come and stay at the well. All through scripture it was so. And sure enough, a woman comes there, and he starts chatting with this woman and begins to tell this woman about her entire life. And through that discuss, changes an entire Samaritan community. Because the word of God says in John 4, if you may look at the beginning of John chapter 4, this is a statement. It makes in John chapter 4 and verse 4. Actually, in verse 3, he says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. he must needs go to Samaria. Well, he must needs go to Samaria does not mean that was the only way he could go through. No, this was where he had to go through because he had to meet that woman there and transform an entire community. And that's where he tells us, my father's, doing my father's will, that's truly what my bread is. God directs our paths. He says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will do what? Direct your path. Acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge him as the hallowed one. Actually, I did preach a message on hallowed be thy name. I think I encourage you to ask for that particular CD. It's a CD that every one of us need to listen to again and again. Hallowed be thy name. That was all I preached on. Hallowed be thy name. What that means. What I'm talking to us about tonight, or this evening, is this. God has a daily assignment for you. It's something God wants you to do today. And you and I are to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit in fulfilling that particular assignment for that day. And he says that we are to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even unto the utmost parts of the earth. Witnesses unto him. Witnesses unto him. That means that we come and we report back to him. Look at it. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto what? Unto me. You witness to me. You come tell me. What? What are you going to come tell me? What was fulfilled in you and with you by the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, whether you're in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the utmost parts of the earth. You come back and you tell me. So many people God saved today. So many people got healed today. You know, the thing is, that for most of us as believers, we have ceased to be witnesses unto the Lord. We don't have a daily report. We don't. And that's what causes our relationship with the Lord to be a very slack one. Because if you and I have a report to bring to the Lord every day, it will keep us on our tippy toes, ready at all times, focused at all times, attentive at all times to know what God is saying and what direction God is pointing. But we spend more time on our own agendas, on our own strategic plans. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Did God send you to do any of those things that you're planning on doing? Because I can tell you, after you finish doing it, as wonderful as it is, it's going to be burnt up. That is futile effort. You spend so much time doing this, and so on and so forth, and that was not what God assigned for you to do. It is out of point. out of point. No rewards for it. It's going to be burnt up. God called you to be a praise and worship leader. But no, you want to be a writer. Doesn't matter how many books you write, it doesn't count. God called you to be a writer, you want to be a doctor. Do you know what God wants for your life? And how are you pursuing it? The only reason I'm a pastor right now is because God called me to be a pastor for a few years. I don't know how long He's called me to be a pastor for. But my real calling is not being a pastor. He called me to be a pastor just so that I can understand pastors and what they go through. So when I go to somebody's church, I don't mess it up. I can take care of their flock properly and leave that flock better than when I met that flock. But my real calling is not that. So when God started asking me to travel again, I knew that was my real calling. So when I need to travel, I travel to honor that commitment. Now, if God says go and I stay, I'm out of His will. Totally out of His will. I don't care how much I love you. I'll be totally out of His will. And so, how did God start moving me? I noticed that He would ask me to have a special meeting. And I set the dates. And then He says, travel. But Lord, You said to start the special meetings. So? I said, that's where you're going. Leave that alone. Huh? So you obey the instruction of the Lord and you go. Because you have to be in God's will. Don't ever do anything because of what somebody else is doing. This person is doing such and such, and they are successful doing that, so I'm going to go do the same thing. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Because it doesn't matter how much you accomplish doing whatever it is that person is doing, you are out of point and out of place. You're ruining your life. No credit, no rewards. You wanting an open show, but God cannot reward you openly. So the quest is this: God, give me my daily assignment. What is my daily assignment? What do You want me to do? And how should I do it? How can I accomplish it? And when you do that, God's hand will continually be on you, and you'll last all of your days. That's why I love the spiritual father God gave to me. God told him to build him an army. God told him that the ministry was not to die. God told him that he needed a legacy center. The land that he set his eyes on to purchase, he went to get the land. The man who owned the land, who was a billionaire, had gone bankrupt. How can you be a billionaire and go bankrupt? The man went bankrupt. Now that land was now held by a bank. He went to the bank and asked if he could purchase a property. They laughed at him to scorn. So he left. That bank went bankrupt. Now the FDIC, which is the Federal Holding Control Center for the financial world of the U.S., now had that property, prime property, prime property. He goes to them, can I have a chance? Ah, you're an evangelist, and you think you can afford this land. So he left. They're trying to sell it. You need to know where this property is. It is the most prime property in all of San Diego. There is a major golf course by it. There are hotels right across that particular stretch. Every kind that you can imagine. There are malls, the biggest malls in San Diego, just next door. This is prime property. An acre should be sold there for no less than $3 to $5 million for an acre. This is a place that Hilton, Marriott, all of the major hotels should be grappling for. They want to sell it. Finally, they decide to auction it away. So whatever the auction price is, these guys, anybody who wants it can just come and make a bid and get it for $500,000 or whatever, an acre, whatever it is, you know, whoever has the biggest amount in there, you know. So they called him and said, we're gonna have this place for an auction. What day? They tell him the date. But the date was in conflict with some meetings he had in Israel. He's gonna have some crusades in Israel. What does he do? They have invited him to come for this. And he needs to go over there. So he says, you know what? I'm going to go on the assignment that the Lord has given to me. I'm going to go down to Israel. And he asks the Lord, how much do you want to pay for that property? The Lord gives him the figure. He goes and he gets a cashier's note, check, for that exact amount. Are you with me so far? That exact amount. Gives it to the chief executive officer of the ministry. Says, this is the cashier's check. When you get there, you cannot give a dollar over this amount. Not a dollar. Do you understand? Not $1 over this amount. So the guy goes there on the day, gets there, and gets into the room where the auction is supposed to take place. And he's the only one there. Where's everybody else? This can't be the place. He checks the number. That's supposed to be the place. He sees some lawyers sitting around, and he asks them, where is the auction supposed to take place? They said, in that room that you just came out of. But there's nobody there. He said, well, but that's where it's going to be happening. So he goes back in and sits there waiting, hoping that he's not made a mistake. And sure enough, a lady comes out, the gavel, and calls the auction to order, and she starts the bid. She is representing the FDIC. They want a certain amount for the property. That's the minimum they're going to have. So she starts bidding, and he bids, and she bids, and he bids, and she bids, and he bids, and she bids, and he bids. Everybody says, come here. So she approaches the desk. He says, do you have the money to do this? He says, I do. Okay, tell you what. This is what the government wants. Do you have this money? Yes, I do. Let's see that. He produces a check. It's exactly the amount to the dot, to the penny, that she was authorized to ask for. She says to him, you know what? I cannot in good faith sell this property to you for the same amount that they are asking for. So, do you have a penny? 1 cent? He said to himself, 1 cent is not $1. Yes, I do have 1 cent. And he brings the 1 cent, puts it on top of his cashier's check, and the gavel goes down, bang, sold. And the property is ours. How does he know what the amount is supposed to be? Well, if you know God, if you know God, then you know what God knows. Amen? That makes sense? Well, he could have left, not going to Israel, and come in there. And that miracle would not have happened that way. But when you obey God's instruction, and you follow through with what God is asking, then you get the benefit of the blessings of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. And I thank God for sons and daughters that follow the instruction of the Lord. My pursuit is to always follow the pursuit of the Lord. But it's good to see others that are doing it and walking in that grace. You know, because that's the only way. The only way I found this place many years ago was God saying, it's time to move. So move what? Move the church. To where? We couldn't even pay for where we were. Just get in the car, I'll take you there. And God brought me here. Showed me the building, and I'm making a U-turn right over there in front. And he says, by the way, if you don't go get it, if you don't take that place, I will personally close down this church. I said, what? He said, I'll close it down because you don't deserve to be around. Huh? How on earth? About a month and a half later, right here we are. God knew how to provide. So when God gives you an assignment, just follow through. Just do it. And I thank God for the grace that he grants us to fulfill his will day by day. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our daily bread. And thank you, Lord, for your kingdom has come. Lord, in those areas in our life where we have not met and matched up with the integrity of your word, we ask, oh God, for forgiveness. We ask, oh God, for the grace, the boldness, the ability to correct the wrong decisions that we've made and to allow you to be God in our lives in every area, in every area, in our church, in our family, in our businesses, in our relationships. Lord of God, in every area, bar none. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done. Let your name, O our Father, be hallowed. Hallowed be your name, Father. Hallowed be your name. We give you praise for all things. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.